Broadcasting from Chicago, it's Hold Up, Wait a Minute on Gozamos TV. Hosted by Reina and Roberto, it's a raw and unfiltered conversation about gender, sex, sexuality, and navigating a heteronormative world in the young century.
Hello, internet. How are you doing? Oh, I forgot they can't respond.
No, but okay, that's where they would normally just say hi.
They would, in that voice.
Yeah, yay.
So, we've been away for a little bit, just a week, you know. I had to get an abortion. It was an emotional abortion.
Emotional abortion, oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God, I'm still reeling. Anyway.
You're still going to hell.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
For sure.
All right.
That's where all the good parties are.
That's right. I think we should take this awkward moment to let people know they can subscribe
on iTunes.
Yes. Hold Up, Wait a Minute. It's free. Leave us a review. You know, if you subscribe, it's just a lot easier.
It is. And it's very important for you to leave a review because right now we have a very positive review. And I want to hear some negative feedback.
Right. You don't want this to go to our heads. So,
exactly.
You know, if you want to cut us down a notch,
do it.
We'd love it.
So what are we going to talk about today, Reina?
First, what I want to talk about is this whole Dove ad campaign. I don't know if you've seen or heard about it at all.
Yes, I have. Basically, for anybody who has been living under a technological rock, it's basically this commercial that's meant to be uplifting where women describe themselves to a sketch artist and they describe themselves with very, you know, not so much negative, but just like accurate, for them at least, self-accurate views of what they perceive to be their face.
Right.
And then strangers look at a picture of these women and then they give it the description to the sketch artist. And then lo and behold, they're much more beautiful than they thought they were.
Wow. Yeah. That's the takeaway message ultimately. And I think it's been really controversial for a number of reasons. First of all, Dove has kind of been pushing this whole idea of, you know, focusing on beauty and trying to have more accurate representations of beauty. And that's kind of been a part of their whole campaign for a while. But they've received a lot of criticism because their campaign ads, they're not representative in terms of like ethnicity or age. You know, they'll stick like one or two like black women or something.
Or an Asian woman here and there. That is racially ambiguous.
Right.
She be Filipino.
Yeah, you just don't know. She's whoever you think she is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ultimately the problem with that particular campaign is it really pushes the whole idea that beauty is only skin deep. So when they talk about beauty and kind of accepting your beauty, it's still about how you look.
Exactly. Right. Even if they portray diversity and what, it's still just portraying an aesthetic beauty.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just their physical body that is being assessed and they're kind of using that as being synonymous with beauty. And we all know that it's not. So one of the biggest criticisms about the new campaign is that it suggests, or it seems to suggest based on the way people are interpreting it, that women are their toughest critics because a lot of, you know, if you look at the pictures that they describe of themselves versus what other people describe, their versions of themselves look a lot like they look worse than what other people describe.
Right.
So they're more flawed. They kind of draw attention to their own flaws. And I guess the goal or the one of the takeaway messages from the campaign is like, oh, look, you know, you're not as ugly as you think.
Is that supposed to be a good thing?
I know. Right. And also it's not that women are their own worst critics. I think that's totally inaccurate. And
you did send me this article on misrepresentation.org. And it's loading right now. I should stop looking up so much porn. My computer would be so faster. By Imran Siddiqui. Sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. Imran has a very good point where he says men, in fact, are the worst critics. And in the spectrum of popular culture, we see shows like Mean Girls and we see like What Not to Wear. And it's like, oh, women and perhaps gay men are the worst critics of female aesthetic because more of their lives supposedly revolve around this need to look good. And when in reality, there's no mention of how men objectify a woman based on her, I guess we could call it aesthetic fecundity.
No, I like that term a lot. Also, if you just kind of think about the majority of the media is run by men. So these are male interests that you know, kind of reduce women just to what they look like. There's a lot of things that women do outside of getting dressed and putting on makeup.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you don't really see that reflected in mainstream media. Of course, those things don't make good television shows. And that's the other thing. We shouldn't read too much into this Dove campaign. After all, it's an advertisement. The whole point of advertising is to kind of exploit some kind of insecurity or generate an insecurity to get you to buy a product. We shouldn't expect enlightenment from advertising campaigns.
Exactly. However, I will note that there's a great disparity when it comes to the Dove campaigns between Dove's women's products and Dove's men's products. Whereas Dove's women's products celebrate the female form and blah, blah. Men's products are just like, oh, all you got to do is scrub your face so you don't look like a stale old piece of toast. And that stale old piece of toast line was written by the great Jennifer Saunders, I must cite.
Yeah, you got to cite your
I got to cite it. But it just seems like when it comes to men, it does not matter what they look like.
Yeah.
But with women, before you think of anything, you think of how she looks. And sometimes that has, I feel like that might have seeped into the popular candor. I've been guilty of describing a woman as she looks before I start talking shit about her.
Yeah, that's, you know.
It's like, oh, that's stripey fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Or something like
right,
that, you know.
She's wearing that.
She's wearing that.
Right.
Which, I mean, is more so, I feel, just a descriptive statement on somebody so that somebody knows what they, who they're talking about.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, that stripey bitch.
Yeah, that stripey bitch.
Right.
I hate her too.
Yeah.
But the thing is that when it comes out of our mouths and onto the street in form of a big billboard with some dismembered female body parts using to sell cologne or something, that's where I feel people tend to view it as just the norm. You know, well, women are there just to be objectified. Women are there to be objects of things. Actually, the editor of Esquire UK, Alex Blimes, to a group of women, he said that his magazine features women as objects, as, you know, just things to be ogled at. And of course, this didn't go down very well with the group of women he was talking to, because they were all, you know, very smart. And
yeah, most people wouldn't.
Yeah,
for
maybe they were ugly, maybe they were beautiful. Doesn't really matter. They had a fucking brain.
Right, right.
There was a conference on women in the media or something like that. And he said, and I quote a Telegraph article by Haley Dixon, he said, "We produce a men's magazine and it has a male gaze. This is the controversial bit that people don't like, but I always tell the truth about it. The women we feature are ornamental. This is how we see them. I could lie and say we are interested in their brains as well, but on the whole, we're not. They are there to be a beautiful object. They're objectified."
That's pretty straightforward.
It's a very straightforward and very straight answer.
That's right.
To a problem
straight
that,
backward.
Exactly. That exists in not only men's media and men's publications, but also women's publications.
Right, right.
I mean, obviously there are other magazines, you know, that feature, let's say a fashion magazine, like Dazed and Confused. It is notoriously provocative, but a lot of the times the pictures are more art than they are pornography. And I feel like we must not kid ourselves and recognize that Esquire and these gentlemen's magazines are a form of pornography, albeit one that you can sell directly in a check lane of a supermarket,
right.
But they're pornography nonetheless.
You know, there's the whole issue of knowing your demographic. And I think when he talks about who his audience is and what they want, he's got it pegged, right? So mm-hmm. On one hand, if that's what they want and that's what they want to buy and view, then okay, that's fine. But I think there's a lack of clarity on the part of consumers to really distinguish that, so that you're not aware of which message is to whom when you're out there kind of just being bombarded by messages. Some people are, though. So I know, for example, there was a 14-year-old, Julia Bloom, a couple years back or last year or something.
It was very recent.
Yeah, she led a petition to get 17 Magazine to portray girls truthfully. So she, I think part of the petition included just like the elimination of photoshopping images and trying to get more
racially diverse models.
Yeah, and like more diverse body sizes that are more accurate. Mm-hmm. So that was was pretty powerful. That kind of shows that, okay, some people are aware of what's being sold to them, and they have a right to kind of be like, hey, if you want my dollar, if you want me to buy this magazine, this is what you're going to have to do.
Or like my $4.
Yeah, I know.
But the thing about it is that not everybody is as astute and brave as Ms. Julia Bloom. Consumers are not stupid, but they are consumers. They consume media. So it's up to the media to shell out a product that is representative of who these consumers are in a very respectful light. And just because that's not the most attractive light, let's say, to a certain Eurocentric view of beauty, that doesn't mean that it isn't beauty.
Right.
And in fact, you can argue that Eurocentric views of beauty, because this is really what we're talking about here.
Right, right.
Oh, I mean, it's one of the aspects that we're talking about, is sort of a losing sort of aesthetic when it comes to population.
Right, because the demographics are shifting and
people are being more attracted to what is different from they are than what is the same in some aspects.
Right.
For example, England, I read this recent study a while ago, and forgive me, internet, if I got it wrong, but you'll let me know, hopefully, in the reviews on iTunes.com, that England has per capita the most biracial couples in the, at least in the Anglophonic world.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it should show you how, even where, you know, this ethnic bastardization began. Sorry, England, I love you so much, but you gotta admit, you fuck shit up. It's changing, you know? In the same way that ethnic cultures have these very, like, conservative viewpoints on human sexuality because of imperialism, yet these countries that were imperialist are sort of becoming more liberal with their viewpoint of sexualities, and it's returning to the way that those ethnic countries were before the arrival of Europeans. And obviously it's going to take some time for those ethnic countries to also revert back to the proper stance of how to view human sexuality.
I want to get back to something that you mentioned about consumers not being stupid, and it's up to the media to reach out and engage the audience accurately. I think, yeah, that's true. And I think consumers, instead of bitching and moaning online about what an advertisement means, you could just not buy the product. And that's it. And see how quickly things will change. You know, if you don't buy the product, and if you make a point to tell other people not to buy the product and let that be known, then things will change because you vote with your dollar. And, mm-hmm. and that's really
exactly
what it's about. So, you know, I don't buy Dove products because it's just fucking soap. I mean, that's really the thing. You know, that's the thing that everybody's missing. It's fucking soap. What do you think is going to come from the soap? Beauty? Attraction? Like, what? You could use any kind of soap and be clean. You could make your own fucking soap, really.
You could.
And it'd probably be better for you and the environment.
However, I will say that I really like Dove products because they make my skin really, really soft.
Your skin is really soft because you're a fucking baby. You're a young, beautiful person. You're youth.
How do you think I've kept up with this? By Dove's demeaning advertising procedures. Maybe it's all psychosomatic.
It is.
Maybe
because
this isn't
you're
even making my skin. Maybe it's ripping my skin off. And by the time I'm 27, I'll just be a blob of muscle and black stuff and organ.
It probably is doing more negative stuff than positive stuff. You're young. Like, youth looks like that. So enjoy your skin now. When you get older, there's no amount of Dove soap in the world that's going to restore this. So
there better fucking be Dove.
You get on that Dove.
Get on that shit. Stop trying to make women feel better about a problem that's not there. Start making us fucking smooth as shit.
Then I, you know,
not shit.
Smooth can, yeah.
Like, you know how sometimes you poo and then, like, you go to wipe and there's like nothing there and you're like, yes,
that's
smooth,
like the perfect,
poo.
Perfect shit.
Poo.
Yeah.
That's what I want my skin to look like.
The perfect shit.
Perfect shit with a beard.
So, moving on.
Mm-hmm. I will just say one last thing about consumers. Let's also not be very naive and accept that consumers are also very escapist. So they might want to see images and pictures of people that are not them so that they have something to strive for.
You know, that's a really interesting point. I've been giving that a lot of thought recently because there has been a lot of increased attention to how different media campaigns approach different kinds of products. And I think we do have a right as consumers to escape. Like, maybe you do want to buy some, maybe you do want somebody to lie to you and tell you that you're beautiful. Okay, that's great. You know, then you should have the ability to do that. But just know what's happening, you know?
Exactly. And I think that, I mean, for me, at least, I don't want an advertisement to lie to me. I want, like, a dude to lie to me.
But, you know, in the absence of a dude, an advertisement will do.
It's probably 90% of the time it's made by a dude, so I guess dudes are lying to me.
Yeah, but this all is part of, like, a bigger issue, like what you mentioned earlier about the Esquire editor, women as ornaments or women as ornamental. And I think this is something that people don't really give a lot of thought to, you know.
What exactly makes an ornament?
Something that is there for your enjoyment, kind of dresses up something. It kind of removes the substance from a human being, right?
And doesn't that actually, like, invite people to view actual women as ornaments and as objects that they can just go up and touch and or just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it does. Or tell them, you know, hey, baby girl, smile. You know, it kind of filters into this whole kind of culture in which, yeah, women are expected to provide that level of aesthetic regardless. And I think that's why there's been some campaigns recently in which, you know, women talk about things that happen on the street when somebody's like, oh, why don't you smile? Or, hey, give me a smile, sunshine. That's actually offensive. And that's offensive for that reason, because maybe you don't want to fucking smile.
Or men are not owed women's affection at
right.
random women's affection at random times.
Right.
Are you going to smile, say, if like you have a huge deadline to do and you're rushing to your house, or you're rushing to your office so that you can finish the deadline by a certain time, and you get bombarded by, oh, baby, come here, let me just talk to you for a second. Oh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Men are not owed women's conversation. They're not owed their time. As I've said time and time again, sex is not a human right. It's a privilege. And they do this because they see women as being these things that you can just scream at. If you find the need to scream at a woman, scream at a newspaper. At least people will know how fucked up you are.
Right.
Instead of just saying, oh, well, you got... complimented. I would love to get complimented every day. Not every hour on the hour, not every minute in the minute. Can you imagine being on I can't, I mean, if I went to say like Boys Town or something, I'm pretty sure most of those hollerings are sarcastic. Well, that's just because I have low self-esteem, but it doesn't feel good when you're just trying to go by your business and have to be invited into sex all the time. And what men don't really realize is that it's not complimenting a woman. It's making her... It's reminding her, taking her sexuality from her and making it directed towards her. If it's like the same thing if some women were to comment on the size of a dude's package right in the middle of the street where everybody can hear, that's going to make you feel awkward, right? Then you're not going to like it. That's exactly what men do to women. That's exactly how it feels for women.
Right. It's the same. It's just, it's reducing them into a sexual being, you know, and it's just reducing them to what's being perceived of them. And that, you know, when you deal with that day in, day out from both people on the street, from advertisements, from magazines, from every angle, you know, does get to be a bit much. But yeah, so it's weird because then it's either women are kind of being treated as ornaments, but at the same time their appearances are can be used to ridicule. There's been a lot of controversy in the U.S. when, like, black males, for example, like actors, like famous actors, put on a dress and dress up in drag, and there's a lot of discussion about how that represents some sort of like emasculating kind of character and what that says about blah 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 blah. But in real life, recently there was a case, and let me just open up this Tumblr. I posted this on our Facebook page where we usually post all of the stuff that we talk about. Androphilia is the name of the Tumblr. There was a really interesting photo campaign that happened early April in which some policemen in an Iranian Kurdish town took some criminals and put them in traditional women's clothing and paraded them around in the street to humiliate them. And after that, you know, women march in the street saying, hey, you know, why is that a punishment? That's what we wear. That's our dress. Why is that punishment? And there was a huge outpour of support from other men dressing as women And some of these pictures are really amazing. You know, they show men kind of dressed up as women in solidarity with,
and also,
you know,
they are also shown in traditionally masculine poses, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it is said, you know, it's shown that this is an art, these are articles of clothing. Sure, they might be more ornamental than men's clothing, but they still carry out a function that is necessary. And since we put these gender roles on clothes so much, would it then be punishment for a woman to dress up as a man and be paraded around the streets? Probably not, because they probably just stone her.
Right.
But
right. But no, it doesn't carry the same. I mean, it is like that in Western fashion too, though. You know, mm-hmm. like a lot of fashion trends, like the masculine
menswear trend.
Right.
Trend. And I've commented a lot on fashion, and I do see something that that's beginning to sort of surface more, where there is a push for feminization of masculine dress, at least masculine items. That
yes,
you can use.
I'm seeing that too, and I like it.
I like it too, because honestly, women kind of like that. I mean, certain women,
right.
certain dudes yeah. like it. I mean, I honestly don't really give a shit what you're wearing, because I just want all the attention focused on me. But
everybody should wear black,
yeah.
and then you can step forward with whatever you're wearing.
I love that.
Like a backdrop.
Dudes should all just wear burkas.
Sorry.
I think that'd be awesome. It'd be a dudka.
Dudka.
But it's, you know, it's this time and time again, we have to assign gender roles to every single thing.
Right.
And when we assign gender roles, we objectify more. Like in Spanish and in other romance languages, objects have genders.
Right.
This is a microphone I'm speaking in. El micrófono. This microphone's a dude. But in English, it's just, you know, a microphone. It's not assigned a gender.
Right.
But I feel like, all that aside, we assign everything else a gender.
Well, yeah, it's a part of categorizing things. We don't know where to stop. And I think that's really the one important thing to keep in mind, is that we, to some extent, we need categories to kind of just organize our world, but you have to know where to stop and you have to know what you're categorizing. And I think as long as we understand that beauty is different than physical appearances, and that soap is soap and men are men and women are women, you know, everything else we can kind of sort out. But yeah, ultimately there's just too much confusion about how to fit people into categories and what it means to put them in categories. So, you know, obviously, yeah, putting men in women's dress shouldn't be a punishment, because then you're implying that being a woman is punishment. And that's the wrong message to send to half of the fucking population. But on that note, we should probably wrap up.
But we'd like to remind you again, subscribe to us on iTunes. It's free. It's called Hold Up, Wait a Minute. Leave us a message. Leave us a review. Make it the most negative review possible so that we can get a laugh out of it.
Or you could troll around our Facebook page too. Hold Up, Wait a Minute. Search on Facebook. Find us through Gosamos TV. And yeah, you can be a jerk or be cool, whatever you want to be, and just leave us some comments.
Well, no, you have to be a jerk or be cool. This isn't like a gender role
it's
thing.
It's either or. That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see you later then, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. Bye.
Peace.